Chris team to come back up with me, and we're going to grab some stools here as we come. And there comes Judy in from the back, and Josh. These guys are committed to everything else going on here. So Judy was in a growth group, and Josh was down serving in youth group. And you guys made it back on time. Nice. I'm going to hand this to you first, Judy. Come up and grab a seat. This is Stephen Chase in green. Josh DeBoer over there, and you saw just briefly him with the firefighting buddy that we met down in Honduras. The government does not pay them, though. They have to go and raise their own support, so we saw this firefighter or paramedic raising his own support on the street, and he's in full gear. And this is Judy Armstrong, and we wanted to share... around a few themes today, and the first one we want to share... is that God provided for us in all kinds of ways. We could talk for days about the ways that God provided for us, and we don't have that time. But we just want to share some ways that God provided for us along the way. So Judy, go ahead and share. It's on, it's ready for you.
So the first one is I'm going to provide, or better?
Better.
The first one I'm going to talk about is we went to visit. We had a chance when we were with the Micah Boys. We went to visit somebody in the prison. And during that time, the women's side of the road of visitors and stuff was really, really long. And the men's side, I guess guys don't go, wasn't so long. So because we were going as a group, we were hoping that there was two of us, Jenna and myself, and we were hoping that we could kind of go into the guy's side of the road to, in order to get into the prison. That wasn't the case. And so Josh nicely stayed with Jenna and myself while the rest of the group went in to visit Wonka, who we were visiting for. It was somebody we knew in 2013 when we went. And so I started praying because they were going to try to see if they could get somebody to let us in. I started praying, and then all of a sudden I switched, and I said, no, I want to start praying that the visit with Wonka is going to go really well and stuff. And so kind of took it off of me, took it on to Wonka and the visit, and that he would get what they needed from the group that was back there. And I honestly don't know how it happened because I was praying, but all of a sudden this lady comes over to Jenna and myself on the women's side and says, what are you guys standing here for? And we said, well, we've got some people back there, but we can't go back there. And so she started to talk to the guard. She took the passport. And the next thing we know, she's getting their permission to take us through the lawyer line. She was a lawyer. Take us through the lawyer line, get us in there, have our passports looked at and everything. And we got to go back and visit as well with our friends. So... you know, the thing that I took away from it is if I take my prayer off of me, and put it on to somebody else, God's there for us. God will show us what he'll be there to help us through.
And it was amazing watching them finally walk in 40 minutes after we'd already been inside, and here you come. God provided a way. It was fantastic. Josh, share it with us another way. By the way, I will give you some context. You just heard the name Wonka. There's two Wonkas. Wonka is short for Juan Carlos, and this Wonka that Judy just talked to about, he's in prison currently, and he's someone who worked alongside Brian Wiggs for a number of years in the tech school, and we've seen him on previous trips, and he's currently prison. You'll hear more about him in a little bit. On the screen here is another Wonka, Juan Carlos, and Josh is going to tell you how God provided for us through this Wonka.
And then in relation to Judy's story, it was amazing that lawyer spoke perfect English. And So that was another one of the battles, and one of our prayer requests was that God would provide a translator. And Stephen had been working on it through a guy he knew when he went down the first time. And so we'd been praying about that. It had been coming up to, you know, the time we were about ready to leave the Micah Project and be on our own, you know. I do speak a little bit of Spanish, but it wasn't enough to get by. Would not have chosen to be a translator if I had the choice. So I think it was day or two before we left. Micah ended up asking Wonka if he would be willing to come with us. And then also Wilmer, who was another Micah graduate, both very awesome guys, easy to get along with, made the workload that week a little bit fun, relatively. And so, day before we left, Wonka said he was coming. And, you know, I guess he grew up, spent a lot of time in the States, went to school in the States, and so did a very good job. And it was also a blessing, the similar sermon to the one you just heard Pastor Aaron share. We were able to give that to the church, which I'm sure he shared with you, which is something that never would have been able to happen. Just a unique experience to be able to be there to physically help build their church, also build relationships, but through that message, you know, spiritually build their church. You know, it's still pretty young, about a year old, I believe. And it made things go so much smoother, and you know, made it so I didn't have to translate.
Yeah, it was just amazing. We shouldn't have been shocked, but we were praying. God provide us a translator. We put that on the prayer sheet, pray for that for us. And it was the day before. God said, okay, here you go. It was beautiful. Judy, how else did God provide for us?
The second story I'm going to talk about is one of the nights we were going to, this is when we're in San Marcos. So we were building the foundation again. One of the nights we were going to go visit a home. Well, you can guess what it was like for us who were working, digging the hole and stuff with, we probably didn't smell and look very good after our work and stuff, but we were going directly to there. These women, you could tell just through the way that they wanted to, that this was something for them to visit the family and stuff was important. And so then they went and we were waiting for Pastor, I think, Aaron, you were trying to get some food, or you were getting food for the next day. We were off waiting for him to come back. And the next thing I know, the pastor's sister, which is on the right hand, my right hand side, your guys' left, I guess, if you're looking at it that way, she's motioning to me. And I'm trying to figure out, because there's no language. I mean, I don't speak Spanish, so I'm trying to figure out what she's saying. She's going. And so I'm looking at these guys, and she goes, so I start going with her, kind of looking at, well, I guess I'm okay. And the next thing I know, she's taking me in the back of her restaurant, which is where we were eating, or where she cooked lunches for us and stuff. We were taking her back the restaurant, back into her home, into her bedroom, and she's telling her daughter to find me a blouse. And then not only did she look to find me a blouse, she also pushed me into their room of where they take their showers, which again is not a shower, it's water and a bucket, but gives me then bottles of soap so that I could wash my hair really quickly and do my, and she also gave me a pair of pants, as well as later on after I was done, we were able to brush my hair, I was able to put on deodorant and a little bit of perfume. So I'm going out to these guys and they're going, you didn't really just take a shower, did you?
Like, why is Judy taking so long? What are they doing?
But the nice thing about it, and what really hit home for me, was not what they did for me as much as they served us just as much as we served them. You know, again, God provided a wonderful community, this church was, and it was all about always how they were looking out to how they could help us just as much as we were looking out to how we could help them.
Thanks, Judy. Yeah, we were all sitting there at the bus stop because that's where our seat was, and just waiting and waiting. What's going on back there? And then Judy walks out nice and clean. The rest of us are all just looked like we've been working for the whole day.
Well, then she washed my clothes.
Then she washed her clothes. It was wonderful. Josh, tell us one other way that God provided for us.
I'm going to share a story about the guy on the screen, but before I do, first way is just, I wanted to say this at the beginning, but just what an honor it was to have the privilege, the support, and the prayers of you guys to be able to go on this trip. Mm. Not everybody has the opportunity to take 2 weeks out of their life and be able to go down there and So very grateful for that. And it's, you know, so hopefully we're able to give a good report and let you guys know what's going on down there, how you can be praying and supporting. So that young man right there, his name's Elvin. So first week, obviously, we're at Micah Project, and you see these boys that look like they're well dressed, you know, groomed, and you know, look like normal 13 to 18 year old boys. And you know, God's still, you know, there's still wounds, they're still dealing with stuff from the streets. But then you go, the day we went to the streets to, you know, hand out food you know, just spend time with these boys, you see where they came from and kind of the source of those wounds. And it was pretty powerful and definitely made you, made your prayers increase. And so this was Elvin, and Michael had been mentioned him to us, you know, just to be praying. He's one of the guys he really wants in the Micah house, and, you know, likes to get him a little younger, not that God can't do incredible rescuing and get them when they're older, but they're just more formidable and, you know, not as ingrained into the ways of the streets, and there's just a lot more habits that they build down there. But anyway, so this is kind of a picture of what you deal with on the streets. He had shoes that had a hole all the way through the sole, and just feet got completely wet, and last I heard from Michael, the feet are doing better, but still need prayers for Elvin as far as getting him in the house and off the streets. So you guys can be praying for that.
There are a number of boys that we ran into that we're still praying for who are on the streets. One of the other big themes that we really came across was when you're in the center of God's will, when you're obeying him, though you might be in danger, there's an incredible peace that goes along with that. And we saw that in a lot of different ways, but Stephen's going to share a little bit about one of those ways. We're going back to a different Wonka now, the Wonka in prison, to switch your context again.
Yeah, so 3 years ago when we went into Honduras,
nice and close there. Yeah, there.
Wonka came with us to the mountains, and he was kind of an interesting character. He has a pretty shady gang history. He used to be a pretty infamous gang lord, if you will, and he's converted to Christianity, and he's a really strong believer. And I tried to build a relationship with him as best I could, and he didn't speak more than 5 words of English, so our relationship was strictly Google Translate for a long time. Anyway, after we left Honduras, I tried to stay in contact with him, and through the Christmas program, I was actually able to support him for Christmas gifts and things, and we kept talking and kept talking, and all of a sudden he quit talking, and I talked to Natasha Wiggs. She's usually my source of inside knowledge into Honduras, and she said that he had actually been shot once in the hip and once in the jaw, that he's been seen by gang members as a target, a prize, some sort of initiation. If you can kill Wonka, then you can get into the gang, kind of thing. And so he was recovering from that, and we started talking again once he was able to speak. And then that kept going for a while, and then he again stopped talking. And when I talked to Natasha, she said that he was in jail. And I don't know whether or not it's he's been wrongfully accused or whatever. It doesn't really matter, but she told me to get in touch with this guy named Olveen, who visits him regularly. And so I got in contact with him, and I sort of brought up with Aaron and with Michael Miller at the Micah Project that maybe we could put together a visit and go see him in prison. And come to find out, the prison that he was in, CNN did a report on that prison, and it's like the worst prison in the world. Or
pretty bad, yeah.
You know, top five. Pretty awful. And so it was a little bit of a leap of faith to go into this place. It's the lion's den, if you will. And Olveen made it happen. I was pretty surprised that we were able to get in there. But I was just expecting maybe just myself and Olveen, but there was 6 or 7 of us that went. So that was really cool. And as Judy said, the line for the women was a couple 300 long, and the line for the men was about 5. Olving, you know, was able to talk to the guards and get us in, and that was a miracle in itself. And so when we got in there, we were trying to find Wonka. This place is packed. I've never seen anything like it. It's a, you know, in America, we picture, you know, just a hallway with just a bunch of cells on one side and cells on the other. This was like a market courtyard. And there's people making blankets and making shoes and selling food, and it was unbelievable. And it was packed. And every inmate's wearing a white T-shirt and jeans. So you really stand out, not only that you're white, but you're wearing color. And so it took us a while to find him, but we did find him, Wonka, in the prison, and he was in church, which I thought was really cool. And he didn't know we were coming, and he was beside himself. And I, if there was ever a, you know, an ex gang lord who wanted to cry, that was right then. I mean, he was so touched by us coming, and I expected us to be there for maybe a half hour or so, and we were there for probably 2 or 3 hours,
yeah,
sitting there talking with him and just going over everything, and it was great. And he had just this peace about him that we had never seen before. I'd never seen before. And he said he was actually very thankful for being in jail because he's learned so much. He has a really good mentor. There's a pastor of the church in the jail who's mentoring him, and he's learning a lot from him. And being in jail has actually been a really good thing for him.
Yeah. And it was just, we had peace also. That was the surprising part, because it was pretty dangerous. And God just gave us peace. Judy, for her devotional she led 2 days before we went to the jail, she said, she just picked a scripture already. She picked this way beforehand we ever went on the trip that talked about remembering those in prison as if you were in prison. Like, okay, we're supposed to go to the jail. Okay. This next man is Eric. He's holding the baby. And that's his son, Eddie Danielle, who at that point is 25 days old. And Eric lives right next door to the church. And we didn't meet his wife or his baby the entire time we were there until that last night, on our last night in Honduras. And it was because his wife had an incredibly difficult delivery. And the baby almost died, and the mom almost died. And so they had to spend the first 24 days of this baby's life in the hospital away from Eric. And so he wasn't even able to hold his baby until day 25. And he just impressed me, because he kept on talking about how he was trusting in God. He knows that God is good. And, you know, God could have, they could have died already. And he was going to trust God that he's going to take care of them. And no matter what happens, he had peace in that. And they asked if Victor would dedicate or present one child. We were talking about in a very Lion King kind of way. They actually, Steve, maybe you can incorporate this into your dedications. Hold the baby up like this. It was just a blessing. They asked if I would dedicate Eddie Danielle, and it was just a wonderful thing. So we have new friends now, and it's another blessing of the technology these days. They're on Facebook just as much or more than we are. So the relationships that we begun continue to this day, which is just wonderful. Another one of the themes of our trip, the last one I thought was huge, was that how God uses broken people. You see brokenness all over. We are broken people, and God uses us in our brokenness for his glory. And so, Stephen, you're going to... By the way, there was no picture of the prison, because when we went to the prison, we didn't take cash, cards, phones, nothing at all. So there were no prison pictures. But Stephen, how is God using broken people?
All right, so this is Olveen. This is the man who helped us, facilitate us to get into the prison, and who visits Wonka pretty regularly. And I asked him for his testimony, and he wrote it out for me, and so I figure I'll just more or less read it. He left his home when he was 9 to live on the streets. And he was sleeping on the sidewalk and huffing yellow glue to make his makes coldness go away and hunger pains go away. By the way, this is a recurring problem with the street kids, is the huffing of glue. You saw one of the pictures in the video, and that boy, does he have one? Yeah, they have bottles that just have glue in the bottom, and then they just huff them constantly. So he was eating food out of trash cans and begging for money. And whenever they get any money from begging, they buy glue with it from basically dealers, drug dealers. So he said he got involved in gang activities because it's enticing because they offer you a place to belong and food and things like that. And he started dealing drugs and hurting people. Whatever the gang wanted, he would do it. He said he did that for 6 years, which is a miracle that he survived that long. He said gang members have an average lifespan of 3 years before they're killed. He said that one day the gang told him to kill his friend. And he didn't want to, and because it was his friend. And if he refused, then he himself would be killed and his friend would be killed. He went to his friend and said, "We got to get out of here." So they both ran. And the only way to get out of a gang is to run away long enough to where 3 years or so before the entire gang roster is turned over and they don't even know who you are anymore. So he ran to, San Pedro Sula, which is about 3 or 4 hours away. He said that he started going to church there. I asked him about that specifically, and he said his whole life he just wanted to feel love and have something that could fill his emptiness, and because his life didn't have any purpose or any sense to it at all. And so he said all he had in him was hate and pain. And some people in the neighborhood told him about the love that he was looking for, and so he decided to go to church. And when he was at church, he had a lot of trouble because he was addicted to drugs and he was really struggling with his emotions. And at church, he met a guy named Roger who started telling him about the Micah Project. And so that's how he became involved with the Micah Project. And now on a weekly basis, I believe, they go down to the streets to this. This is actually a soccer field here. And they bring him a giant, huge bowl plate of fried rice. And they all play soccer for an hour and then get fried rice. And it's just a great opportunity for them to talk to the boys and tell them about the Micah Project and how there's a place for them to learn English, to learn math and science and get an education and become men of God and have 3 square meals a day and have all the clothes you need and to have 20 brothers. And it's amazing that they still refuse all that. They would rather live in the streets and do drugs and eat from trash than to have all that awesome stuff because they don't want to give up their freedom and security in the streets. And they're also afraid that it's not a legitimate offer. And so Olveen has a dramatic conversion story, and he's been there, so he can really relate with these boys, and he's doing a great job with that ministry.
And lastly, while we were there, we got this huge blessing. The boy on the right there in the red, that's your left. Yeah, that's left. Okay. That's Josue. And he was playing soccer on the streets with us. And he came up to Michael and he said, "Michael, I want to live at the house." A lot of these boys don't want to. But Josue was at that point where he said, "I want to live at the house." And so they scheduled an interview. And Michael came out to us. We were welding. They taught us how to weld. That was pretty cool. We were welding the fence, and Michael came out and said, "Hey, would you guys just stop and pray? I'm doing an interview right now of Josue, and to see if we can bring him to the house." They don't have the staff for him, but Michael's got a huge heart. He says, "Okay, God, whoever you're going to give me, we're going to take care of." And they interviewed him, and I said, "What's your qualifications for an interview? What do you want to see from them before they come into the house?" And he said, "Well, they have to have the desire. If they want to be here in the house, that's a strong indication that they are going to go through the trouble of getting off the addiction to the drugs and the rest." And he came away from the interview and he came out and he said, "Yeah, he's going to stay here. He's going to be here in the house." And so while we were there, we got to witness a new Micah boy coming into the Micah family. It was just a beautiful thing. Later that night, Michael's caught me and he's like, "Hey, Aaron, do you want to come see a street boy's first night in a bunk bed?" I say, "Sure." And they have this quad kind of area, and each one of these dorm rooms has 4 bunk beds, 3 or 4 bunk beds in them. And Josue had just gotten his new bed, and he was meticulously folding the clothes that had been given to him better than I've ever folded my clothes, stacking them in a nice straight pile. He clearly knew the value of what he'd been given. And throughout the trip, Josue is just one of them, but Olveen's one of them. Wonka's one of them. We could tell you an hour-long story about our translator, Wonka, and what he's been through and how God is using him now. He's come from tremendous difficulty and ugliness, and he's now serving with YWAM in Costa Rica for the next 6 months at least, and then beyond that. And God is just changing lives, and he does the same thing here. And he takes us in our brokenness, and he doesn't just heal that, but he uses us in our brokenness to minister to others. And that's what I got to share with the Street Boys. It's the song you heard during the video, The Wound is Where the Light Shines Through, the new song that came up by Switchfoot right before we went on the trip. And it just speaks so clearly how the wound is where the light shines through. You look at Jesus' hand, you can see the light coming through. But the wound in us, that's where God uses us to shine for his glory. And so we just want to encourage you in whatever you've heard today. We hope and pray really that one of your takeaways is that you would just be ready to serve God in whatever capacity you see at any time. As you do that, you know, we want you to pray and say, God, would you open our eyes? Would you open our eyes to the ways you want us to serve you? And then this next month of October, you're going to be seeing stuff come out this next Sunday about how we as a church, we want to pray throughout the month of October. God, how do you want to use me as an individual? And God, how do you want to use us as a church, as your people in the world around you? So thanks for listening. There will be time. I'm going to send these guys out in a moment, and you can just ask them more questions and take them down to one of the growth group rooms, grab a cup of coffee and a donut and whatnot. But I've asked Judy if she would just close our time this morning together in prayer. And then what we'll do this morning, as you get ready to go to the growth groups and speak, I'm going to have the usher stand at the back, and we'll take the offering and welcome cards and thank you cards. Welcome cards. There you go. I don't have any thank you cards. Do you have any thank you cards? No. You can give those to the ushers on the way out this morning. But Judy, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for bringing us here today. I thank you for the sermon on foundations and that you are our foundation. I ask that you help and put it into each and every one of our hearts as a way in how we can continue to serve you and to serve others. I thank you for the missions trip as well as for the bringing everybody back safely and for the prayers that occurred here while we were gone. I just thank you for everything you do for us. In these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.